Governor Sean Parnell plans to introduce legislation this week that would provide tax breaks for production on new and existing oil fields. It's a spinoff of a state Senate proposal to provide a production allowance for new field oil, but it goes a step further, addressing existing fields. The issue of how best to deal with incremental production from legacy fields is what stalled an oil tax overhaul in the Senate's bipartisan majority. But Parnell says he thinks lawmakers can reach agreement on the issue.
I'd like that conversation to continue. I'd like both the House and Senate to consider how we might bring these two positions together. You know, at first blush, they seem so far apart. But as I realized that the Senate had created a new structure that they already agree incentivizes production on the new fields, I think they can agree that it should incentivize production in existing fields as well.
Parnell plans to introduce the legislation tomorrow, the first day of the special session. The governor issued a special session call shortly after the House and Senate adjourned the regular session early yesterday morning. Also on the call are House Bill 9, a bill meant to further advance an in-state natural gas pipeline, and House Bill 359, Parnell's bill to strengthen penalties for people convicted of sex trafficking. There's no short-term energy relief from the legislature, but two bills approved by lawmakers offer the potential for new access to natural gas. Dan Bross has more on the story.
A provision that would have given Alaskans vouchers for heating oil, electricity, or other energy sources did not pass. But Fairbanks Representative Steve Thompson says a bill that provides reimbursement for natural gas storage facilities did.
If you're bringing in LNG, liquid natural gas, you have to have some kind of LNG storage tanks for it. This provides for a credit or payback of up to 50% of whatever it costs to build that LNG storage tank, up to $15 million maximum.
Thompson says the program, originally designed specifically to benefit proposed plans to truck North Slope gas to Fairbanks, drew interest from many smaller communities and was expanded to include utilities statewide. He says legislators also approved reimbursement for natural gas exploration in new areas.
The Frontier Basin drilling tax credits, which involves six different basins and the Nanagas Basin, which is the closest to Fairbanks.
Thompson says the state will pay as much as $25 million to cover a portion of the cost of drilling up to four exploratory wells, no more than two in any one basin. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
Developers of a proposed mine at the Herbert Glacier believe there's at least 245,000 ounces of gold. That's based on an independent resource estimate of exploratory drilling over the last 2 years. The Herbert Glacier area is being jointly developed by Grand Portage Resources Limited and Quaterra Resources, both of Vancouver, British Columbia. Tom Patton, CEO and president of Quaterra, hinted that the latest estimate is only the partial picture of Herbert Glacier's potential.
We think that this thing has got potential for, you know, a million plus ounces of high-grade gold.
Patton made the comments during a Wall Street analyst conference last week before yesterday's release of the resource estimate for two out of the five potential veins in the area. If those estimates are correct, then the value of the 245,000 ounces of gold at today's market prices would be worth approximately $404 million.
We got interested in this thing just because of the address. Juneau, after the First World War, was the top gold number one gold producing district in the world. This Herbert Glacier deposit was not discovered at that time because it was under the Herbert Glacier, which has since receded.
Patton told analysts that they expect to spend about $700,000 for additional work at Herbert Glacier this year. The resource estimate was done by Wasilla-based Yukon Kuskokwim Professional Services. In a prepared statement, Ian Claussen, CEO and president of Grand Portage, the other partner in that joint venture, says they're delighted with the initial report. Claussen says they hope to discover additional mineralized zones and expand the known resource area with more drilling this summer. That includes 36,000 feet of infill drilling, about 9,000 feet of exploratory drilling. price of gold is down a little bit this morning in New York spot market trading, currently at $1,639.50 an ounce, and silver currently unchanged at $31.53 an ounce. The price of Brent crude oil is $118.47 a barrel this morning, and West Texas Intermediate is at $104.15. The public can now comment on the City and Borough of Juneau's petition to annex roughly 2,000 square miles of largely undeveloped land south of the current municipal boundary. The CBJ's petition was filed last November in response to the City of Petersburg, which has proposed forming a borough that includes the same area. The state's local boundary commission accepted Juneau's filing April 9th, opening the public comment period. It lasts through June 28th. Brent Williams is a local government specialist for the state of Alaska and staff to the local boundary commission. He says the public comment period is the beginning of a several-month process before the commission issues a final decision early next year.
Once the comments are submitted, the staff will review all of them, and it will look at the standards and make a recommendation to the commission whether the petition meets the standards or not. Then we issue a report, and people get to comment on that report. We again look at those comments and consider them, write a final report, and then the commission will have a hearing.
Juneau's petition seeks to annex the mostly unpopulated area from the city's southern boundary to Cape Fanshawe and east to the Canadian border. It includes the Tracy Arm Ford's Terror Wilderness and Endicott Arm, as well as Holcomb, Windham, and Hobart Bays. Both Juneau and Petersburg claim economic and cultural ties to the region. Juneau-based native corporation Gold Belt Incorporated owns about 30,000 acres at Hobart Bay. The company opposes having the land incorporated into either community. Petersburg's petition is about 8 months ahead of Juneau's in the local boundary commission process. Commission staff in February recommended approving Petersburg's proposal, including the disputed area. Commissioners will hold a hearing on Petersburg's petition next month. The commission earlier denied Juneau's request to consolidate the competing claims. Comments on Juneau's annexation petition should be filed with the local boundary commission and the CBJ clerk's office. Once again, that deadline is June 28th. 4 days after two men were gunned down at a Coast Guard base on Kodiak Island, area residents told Coast Guard officials they're frustrated by lack of information and skeptical of official assurances that they are not in danger. About 150 people turned out last night for a community meeting where Coast Guard officials and Kodiak leaders fielded questions. The FBI is a lead investigative agency in last Thursday's shooting deaths at Comstay Kodiak, but no one from the FBI attended yesterday's meeting. Resident Rick Rowland asked the island's highest-ranking Coast Guard official why he should believe that citizens are safe. Captain Carl Moore replied that the FBI has no credible evidence of threat to the community. Killed were Petty Officer First Class James Hopkins, an electronics technician, Richard Belisle, a former Chief Petty Officer who continued service to the Coast Guard as a civilian employee. And the prosecutor who headed the Justice Department unit that bungled the corruption case against Senator Ted Stevens is leaving the government. In court papers filed in a case in Virginia, the department says William Welch is departing for a job in the private sector. Recently, Welch has overseen efforts to crack down on officials who leak government secrets. He stepped down as chief of the Public Integrity Section in 2009 amid the controversy over the botched Stevens prosecution. A court-ordered investigation of that case concluded that prosecutors failed to turn over to Stevens' lawyers some information that they had that was favorable to the defense.